Fine. I don't have any announcements, so. We'll start in verse 7 through 11. But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment.
He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness.
The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble.
And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee.
Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. Amen. Well, as a family, that's what we do. We'll declare all his goings. You may notice we say brother and sister around here. It's because we're family, and these folks are so dear. Oh, when one has a heartache, we all share the tears and rejoice in each victory in this family. You can pick your friends, but you can never pick your family. And that's what I think about Jesus. He's my dad, period. Amen. As the brothers come forward, Sister Ochoa, I just want to thank the Lord for always being with us and also for answering my prayers. And we all know the Brother Andrew and Sister Ellie have had a pretty rough couple weeks, so let's just remember them in prayer. And if you need something tonight, God can speak to you. He is here. I've never had to have anyone else ask me or for my dad to tell me something through somebody else. He always just told me. And I do it with my sons the exact same way. I don't believe that Jesus does it any other way. You want something? Ask Him. He will tell you as Brother Steve leads us in prayer. Yes, Jesus.
Father, you're wonderful, Lord. We gather in one accord, Lord God, in one mind to praise you and thank you, God. In this little bit of the time you've given us here together, God. Lord, we commit this service into your hands, God. Bless the musician, Lord God, and our pastor, Lord God. Give him strength, Lord God. He's had a trying time here. Him and his family, God. Give him strength tonight, Lord God. Encourage him, Lord, in a way that only you could.
Amen, amen. Oh, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. 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 Ladder. We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Soldiers of the So what is this year to you? Oh, this is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of Jubilee. When all the captives are set free. Come ye all, ye blind, ye lame. Leap and shout for joy again. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of Jubilee. When all the captives are are set free. Oh, come ye all to Zion, leap and shout for joy again. This is the year of Jubilee. Yes, this is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of Jubilee. When all the captives are set. Oh, that'll put a smile on your face. Come ye all to blind and late. Leap and shout for joy again. This is the year of Jubilee. You happy about it? Oh yes. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of Jubilee. When all the captives are set free. Yes, Lord. Come ye all to blind and late. And shout for joy again. This is the year of Jubilee. You believe it? Oh yes. This is the year of Jubilee. Oh, this is the year of Jubilee. When all the captives are set free. Come ye all ye blind, ye lame. And shout for joy again. This is the year of Jubilee. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, just have him wrap your arms around you. Oh, shut in with God. Oh, in a appreciate you, dear Jesus, for your mercy and grace to me. I love you with all my heart. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus.
Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. Thank the Lord. Praise his name. Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn in the scriptures. Glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Glad each one can make it out. As you turn in, I believe the Judges chapter 6. Appreciate all the prayers for us during this time. My wife losing her brother. It's been a trial, but the Lord is faithful to us. I'm glad we have him to lean on. I wouldn't know what to do otherwise. Did a lot of traveling yesterday too, so I cover your prayers also. Appreciate those that's reached out and done things, and appreciated each one. Glad to know that we're loved as well. Don't have to just wait to see Jesus to know you're loved. That's a good thing.
Amen.
But God bless each one. Oh, sir, it's good having you with us too. What's your name, sir? Dale. Have you been here before, brother? No? I'm thinking of another fella that started with a D. Didn't we have somebody else with? I thought maybe it's another Dale, but it's good to have you with us tonight. Well, God bless you, and you're welcome in the house of the Lord. But here in Judges chapter 6, and then I'll let you have your seats here in a minute. We'll start at verse 11. Judges chapter 6 and verse 11. It says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertaineth unto Joash and Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers have told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him. You like how it was the angel of the Lord, and now you see it's the Lord standing there in another body. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. I like to preach tonight, and just bear with me here a little bit. But just a little word from the Lord, but I meant you. But I meant you. I meant you. Let's bow our heads together. As you bow your head before him, if your eyes close, if there's something on your heart, say, Lord, I'd just like to lift this need up to you tonight with my hand, but you know what's in my heart, and I pray you'll help me as I approach the word. God bless you, each one. Just the way you pray, let's open up our hearts and not just invite the Lord tonight, but let's make him welcomed in this place. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful to even be able to call you Father, to not know you in some distant way, but Lord, you've come and made yourself personal to each one of us, Lord, and we're so happy for that. We're glad we've got someone to lean on through the good times and the bad times, and even just the normal times. Lord, you're still there, and you bring comfort and peace that this world just doesn't have. And we pray, Father, now as we come to your word and we come to your house and we've sang the songs, we've read the scriptures, Lord, all these things anybody could do, any man could pull back the pages and read the Bible. Anybody that can read could read it to us, Lord. But we pray now that the great interpreter, the Holy Spirit, will come and take these words off these pages and these notes and what I might speak, Lord, may it not be just the words of a man, but may you come and feed the children of God the food that they need in their souls. Father, the many needs that were just lifted up to you, Lord, I know you know every one of them. And I pray, and again, your own special way, Lord, you'll come and meet each person at the point of their need. As we approach the holy word of God and your Holy Spirit, we pray afresh. May the precious blood of Jesus wash us clean from all of our sins, all of our iniquities, anything that wasn't pleasing. Lord, may it all be done away with and separated from us, that, Lord, when you speak, we won't have any hindrance to hear what you have for us tonight. Lord, we lay work aside. We lay tomorrow aside. We lay anything else aside. And just as Mary did, we sit before your feet saying, Lord, we're here to listen to what you have for us tonight. We love you with all of our hearts. We thank you for answering our prayers and helping us in our time of need. Be with us now as we commit the service to your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I think lots of times, and I mean, appreciate our brother's testimony this Sunday, those of you that were here for that, but just that the Lord, many times he brings his word, and many people will look at it and acknowledge it and say, well, there's something about that. That looks really good. And maybe I believe it, and maybe I think that's true. And then we say, well, let's go study it out and figure out if I can prove this is right or not. But then there's something about it when you recognize that God didn't bring his word just for you to marvel at it like a museum piece and say, well, that's nice, and I'm so glad that's true. It's not a math book. It's something different when all of a sudden you realize he isn't bringing you his word for you to acknowledge it's true. He's bringing it for you.
Amen.
That he's speaking it to you.
Yes.
Not to just in general, not, and that's what the gospel's been presented as, some big general sweep, like God, he knew man would fall, but he kind of just felt bad about it. So he said, you know what, I'll come down, I'll send my son, I'll give him as a sacrifice, and I guess if anybody stumbles upon this, they can be saved. Like he don't know what he's doing. You know, just some blanket sweep salvation, and maybe somebody will catch it. No, that's not the God we serve. The God we serve knows us. The God we serve cares about us. When God made his creation, he didn't forsake it. It was man that forsook God, not God that forsook man. Even the Garden of Eden, when they had sinned, guess who still showed up? God still came down there. He knew what happened. He knew they had already sinned. He knew they had already turned away, yet he still showed up. Goes to show, brother, sister, that maybe sin isn't our problem. Maybe it's not recognizing that he's calling us. And this blanket sweep theology gets out there, like with Gideon right here. Here comes the Lord, literally meets him, hiding behind the wine press because he's afraid of the Midianites. We know Israel was taken over by the Midianites at this time. And he was just imagine being a Jew during the Nazis' reign and you're hiding up in an attic or something like Anne Frank or whatever. And that's where God meets you. To tell you to get down. Now imagine, this is what happened to Gideon now. Imagine, I forget Anne Frank's father, I don't remember his name, but just imagine that when he was up there, the angel of the Lord met with him and said, go downstairs and conquer the Nazis. What do you mean? Like, we're in captivity. I'm hiding up here. And I ain't nobody. I'm the least. We go through the Jews. But see, when you take a Bible story and actually apply it to where it's supposed to be, you realize, these men had what we call faith.
Amen.
Real faith that they didn't just hear a voice and just hope for the best. They knew who was talking. And this man, he begins, and I appreciate Gideon's honesty, and I wish more people would be more honest with God too, that when God came to him, he says, you're a mighty man of valor. He says, how can I be a mighty man of valor? You must be talking about somebody I can't see. Is he hiding in the bush over there? Is that who you're talking about? And the Lord says, no, I'm talking to you, Gideon. You might not know what you are, but I do. Hallelujah. You might look like a coward. You might think you're a nobody, but I know you're a man that's going to win this thing. And he begins to ask questions, Lord, if you really with us, what, shouldn't we have miracles and all these stories we've heard? Why are we captive and all these things? Maybe it's for such a time as this. Maybe God lets you get so bad, so instead of you just hearing stories, now he can come in your life and show you that he can do the same thing now that he did back then. And he proved it. And we could go through and Gideon, anybody that knows the story that knows that Gideon was a mighty man. He ended up winning without even having to do much. God told him that you have too many with you. Get rid of these, get rid of these, get rid of these. Before you know it, they had 300 guys and they won the thing anyway. See, that's the kind of God we serve. He knows what he's doing. But what I want to bring to us tonight is that word that came to Gideon, his calling, I want to start right there. That when God calls, it's not a blanket call. He is calling you. As in you little children and things. He's calling you. He's not calling your parents. He's calling you to do his work. And it don't matter how big it looks to compare to how little you are. When God came to Jeremiah, he had the same excuse.
He did.
God said, oh, Jeremiah, I've called you. Let's go. Go preach to all the nations and give them the word that I tell you. He says, man, I ain't nothing. I'm a little child. How am I going to do this? And the Lord told him, don't say thou art a child. Say, I've called you.
Yeah.
What made Gideon ready to go is the Lord said, I'm going with you.
There we go.
I mean, do you know that Moses went through the same thing? I'm just going to quote it to you, but when God gets done with his exhortation, it's Exodus 3, but I'll just pick it up in verse 10. God's speaking to Moses. He says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee. I'm just going to stop there. That'll qualify right now. Moses sitting there looking at himself. We know he was a 40-year failure. He know he had missed the call of God. As far as anybody was concerned, it was done and moved on. But God didn't forget him, and he was still the man. So when God showed up in that burning bush, he says, I'm not talking to anybody. I'm talking to you. Get down there and deliver my people. God don't need your ability. He needs your faith. And that's why we can't hardly get nowhere with God. We don't even know if we've been called yet. Were you called by the church? Were you called by the pastor? Were you called by even your own self-guilt that I've done wrong and I want to be a better person? That won't get you nowhere in the kingdom. It's got to be God. It might have been a preacher. It might have been an evangelist. It might have been brother, sister, or whatever that you brought. But I heard a voice beyond that was speaking, says, I'm talking to you. Through that man, through that ministry, through the Bible, through what that song, whatever God might use, it's got to be, he's talking to me. Now, I trust each one of us, when we come to God, we've got to know that God has called us and that he didn't call us to let us lose. He called us to win, and he didn't bring his word to us for us just to look at it. He brought his word to us that we might fulfill it. Now we're going to have to take it all, though. Don't just pick out what you like here. You got to take it all. You got to take that you might be in captivity right now. You got to take that, yeah, I don't know what God's doing. I'm trying to look for miracles and I don't see nothing. You got to be able to say, but Lord, even today, I still believe you. And I'm not giving up on your word. You got to take the good with the bad. You got to take when God, this is another thing people do. When God begins to start preaching on sin, what do we begin to think? He ain't talking to me. Oh, no. That's for brother so-and-so. I've already told you my virgin. There's supposed to be a song, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, but that ain't what people sing in their spirit, is it? It's you, and it's definitely you. Standing in the need of prayer. Because I'm doing just okay, but I'm here to tell you, when God brings his word, even when it corrects us, actually, do you know this is the house of correction, and judgment begins in this place. And this is where grace can still be found. But what is the end of judgment? There ain't no grace out there no more. Thank God we can still find grace today. But that point of saying, even when God is correcting and bringing us to a knowledge of our sin that we might repent, that ain't for our neighbor. That ain't for our brother, sister. That ain't for the sinner that stumbled in. That's for you.
It is.
Amen. Let's turn to Hebrews 12. Let's just get this point down. Hebrews chapter 12. And this will change your life. And I don't mean that in some cliche way. I mean it in the reality that it is. When you read the word of God saying, he means me. He doesn't mean in general. He is talking to me through his word. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. How many loves the word of God? Every day, man. I'm so glad it's there. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll start at verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, not the pastor, not somebody, not my mom and dad, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset the deacons, because, you know, they need prayer. Amen. But you know what I mean, brother. But besets us. He's talking to us as individuals. There's nobody above this. We all, especially in the day we're living at now, if you ain't struggling at all, I don't think you're fighting. I think you gave up. If you're a Christian, you're struggling, not in a defeated way. You're struggling because you know we've got to resist this thing to the very end. You got to be just like Gideon and push aside these thoughts that you can look around and have all kinds of evidence to support, but you got to say, but God came here and he spoke to me something that's greater than everything I can see right now. All right, let us lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How are we going to do this? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy which was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Why do we need to look unto him? For this reason. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. What's the Lord trying to tell us here through his word is he went through worse than you are.
Yes.
And let's consider that we're looking unto Him and the fact that He could overcome and now He has come by His grace into us. If we keep looking to Him, we can do the same. And it is going to be hard because we ain't striving against other sin. That's what Jesus did. He took the sins of the whole world, literally. Don't hypothetical this at all. That's why Jesus was under such constraint. That's why the Son of God, born virgin, never sinned, had to pray through that day. Because all the sins of the world were on His account. He was dying a sinner. Not of His own, but of you and mine. And the sins of the whole world. You know the guilt and shame and torment your mistakes and sins and iniquities make in your life. Take the whole world and put it on you. Why do you think He was that strong? He had to have something come strengthen Him. Because everything was upon Him. That's why when He died, He didn't go redeemed. He went down to the lost. Because that's where sinners go. The difference is this man didn't have any of his own on his own account. So when he went down there, he was able to take the keys. And say, I'm leaving this place. And I'm taking captivity captive. And He gave gifts to men. We're going to hit on that here, not tonight, but coming up soon. He proved that he conquered. He proves that He conquers because He still conquers in us. Now, how do we strive against sin? This is where the rubber meets the road, brother, right here in verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourges every son whom He receiveth. Who's He talking to? Yeah, He means me. He's talking to you tonight. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, don't get mad at me, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we, who's He talking to? Don't play it somewhere else. Lord, you're talking to me. Why did you buffet me? Why did these things happen to me? Why do I get chastised? Why do I have conviction? Why do I get so discouraged in myself, failing so bad? But Lord, it's your good pleasure to bring this to me that I can be a partaker of your holiness. Amen. That I don't live in sin anymore, but I can reflect the God I love.
I do.
Now, no chastening. For the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. That's exactly right. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. What should we do then? Lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. Let that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. That's right. Get your hands up where they belong, praising the Lord. Get your knees, don't let them be all feeble and falling down. No, stand up tall. And that's why let's walk a straight line. Don't let it be lame and start falling over to the sides and turning the left and right and getting stumbled. Stay right on the path. That's what God's corrections do. They keep you right where you're supposed to be. And I'm so glad now that I'm serving the Lord. When we're born again of the Spirit, we never are under the judgments of God any longer.
No, sir.
And if you still think that, then you haven't come in yet. Yeah, you're still going to be convicted. And that is a judgment in a sense. But look, condemnation coming on you and conviction are not the same. And until you're born again, you'll never understand the difference. And don't be deceived either, because the devil's really good at that. Oh, you got convicted, you did this and this. You must be condemned, you must be a sinner. Oh, you forgot who you are. Because He's already done saved me. He's chastening me for my profit. That I won't be a partaker of the sins of this world. And anybody that's a Christian knows, as much as tempting as it can be and all the pleasures that comes with the sins of the world, we've been in this thing long enough, we know where that's going, and we don't want anything to do with it. Aren't you so glad, brother, that something clicks on you, right? That girl's over there and this thing's happening and you're dealing with it and Satan tries to paint this whole thing up for you? Am I just preaching myself? But then the Holy Spirit comes and says, hey, buddy, you know what that's going to do? Thank you, Jesus. Because without that voice, you'd believe that thing. And here's the thing, and man, God help me. This is the rubber meets the road. This is a fine line preaching here. But God's predestinated plan has to happen, okay? but you can mess it up and make it a lot worse than what it would have been.
Sure.
As I've preached before, David was supposed to marry Bathsheba. He was supposed to bring forth Solomon, the promised son, for the lineage of Jesus. Absolutely, that was the way God intended it. But he got in there. And he did it his way. And yeah, he might have had one good night, but he didn't for any time after that. I'm sure when he was walking up the hill and Absalom had taken half the kingdom and he was discouraged and all his wives and concubines were taken in that kingdom, he thought, you know what? That one night really wasn't worth it. But see, the devil don't tell you that. But God will. And I disbelieve you, call me crazy all you want. If redemption had been bought in the days of David, the Holy Ghost would have got a hold of that man before he ever got there. Yes, sir. And he would have avoided the whole thing. And I've always believed that Uriah would have went down a man of valor. He would have went on the battlefield and slew the enemy until he exhausted himself to death. And then when he died, then that woman would be widowed and then he would have a lawful choice to go marry her. But see, man puts his hand in there. But God gave us the Holy Ghost and all those things were written, not even for any age, but this one. Because we're at the end where everything was typed that we might learn from that and be the fulfillment of what the Word should have been in every day. Why does that excite me? Because he's talking to me. He's saying, I'm here to fulfill that Word in you, Brother Andrew or whoever else. He's here to say, tonight, I want to fulfill a man that listened to the Holy Ghost and did what David couldn't do. Glory. Come on, brothers, get them hands back up again. Get them feeble knees. Let's stand up every once in a while. How about that? All right, listen to this. Way of a true prophet. I'm almost done with this bit. We'll get moving along. I know. But the way of a true prophet, 63. It says, we need men today, anointed men like Amos was, that would cut the world away from that woman and make her a daughter of God. Cut that world away from the man. Regardless of how many trustees thrown him out or anything else, he would stand on thus saith the Lord. We wouldn't receive Amos, I don't think, like that, like this. What do you think Amos would do when he walked into a Pentecostal church of today, claims to be led by the Holy Spirit, and then see the same thing in the Pentecostal church that claims to be led by the Holy Spirit? I wonder. Now, we could talk about the Baptists, Methodists, and the Lutherans, but when it comes to our own dirty door, then what about that? Gotten away from the Word of God, something went wrong somewhere. That's exactly right. They come and do all these different things and claim to be led of the Spirit, dance in the Spirit, sometimes even speak with tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in dancing in the Spirit. I believe in shouting. But there's a lot more goes with that. That's right. You do all those things and deny the Word, then there's something wrong somewhere. Got the wrong spirit. God doesn't lead his people to such things anyhow. No, he doesn't. And what did he tell? What is Jesus' own words to this age right now? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Why? Because this is the day of the most deception. And as we said, as what he just said there, what I still believe, we can say dirty door. Oh, the Baptist, praise God, I'm not a Baptist. Pentecostal, this, praise God, I'm not a Pentecostal. Here we go down the message, at least I'm not part of the Thunders. At least, about, hallelujah, I'm not. At least I'm not Modi, this. That, none of that matters. Are you hearing what God has told you to fulfill? The standard for anyone else doesn't matter anymore. Because last I checked, the majority ain't going in a rapture. The majority ain't going to listen to the word of the Lord. They're not going to repent. That's why Brother Bram called it the zeal of this hour, because the only thing, you can find people that still shout. Oh, yeah. You can find people that still speak in tongues. Not many, but some. You can find many churches that will preach this, and the other thing. But give me a man that when he's wrong, he repents. And don't sit there and diddle-dad around about it and try to do all these little games, but just goes right at it and says, Lord, help me. You know, I don't believe in being Catholic either. I don't believe repentance is penance. Going around and groveling at everybody's feet and acting like they're better than you and all these things. Y'all got quiet, but that ain't what repentance looks like. Repentance is before God. And I do believe being honest with God, and I believe if there is something you're supposed to bring restitution to, the Lord will tell you. Because remember, love will cover a multitude of sins. Brother, sister, let's be honest. If we went and try to confess every single thing we did every day, guess what you'd be doing? That's it. You wouldn't have time to go to the restroom?
Nope.
Wouldn't have no time to eat dinner? You'd just be confessing. Thought that, felt this, this, this. Yeah, we need the grace of God, okay? Amen. Don't ever get away from that. But as many as he loves, don't think that he's just going to do this all the time for you. That ain't the kind of God we serve. He does rebuke, he chastens, but as we already read before, it's all for our profit. And if we'll just be zealous and repent, I believe those peaceable fruits of righteousness will be so abundant, you'll say, you know what? Thank the Lord. That really wasn't as bad as I thought it was. It was a whole lot better than reaping what I'd get from the devil. All right, now that's on that side. We know that God brings his calling. It ain't collective. It is to each one of us. When God brings his correction, it ain't collective. He ain't just blanking it over. He's coming to each one of us to tell us what to do. Now, let me say this. When he brings his blessings and his promises, that ain't blanketed over either. He's talking to you. Turn with me to Psalm 103. I can't get over this scripture here recently. I'm just a little bit past that in my Bible reading. That's why it's kind of fresh for me. But Psalm 103. Who's he talking to tonight? That's right. Praise the Lord. I think you'll listen in a little bit. Psalm 103. Start in verse 1 here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all. Who is he talking? He's talking to me. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth not my neighbor's mouth, not the pastor tonight, but my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Glory. The Lord executes judgment, or righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He maketh known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Who is he talking to? He's talking to me tonight. Amen. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Oh, when I begin to look at the word of God, and like we just read there, he's a Lord that forgives all thine iniquities. Lord, you're the God that forgives, I'm hearing him tonight, all my iniquities. You heal all my diseases. You restore my life from all destruction. I don't care if it's mental. I don't care if it's just financial, domestic, whatever Satan's trying to do. You've restored my life from it. Because it's in your word, and I believed it, and it's talking to me right now.
Amen.
This sickness doesn't rule over me. Why? Because I've heard God, and he didn't just say he heals. He said he healed me. When I think of being saved in this day, I don't look, well, I hope somebody gets saved, and I hope somebody... He said that to me. Whosoever will, let him come. I'm coming, Lord. Then I get the benefits of that. And it's all mine. It's not just for my neighbor. It's not for somebody else. He wasn't saying it to them as far as I'm concerned. You say, what are you talking about, brother? Now, I know he's talking to you too, but that ain't what I'm listening for. What good does it do me to know that you're blessed, Sister Violet? I'd like to be blessed too tonight. Amen. It ain't going to help me. You say, I've appreciated this, and I trust people's hearts, but I've been in camp meetings and things where, you know, I'll be worshiping the Lord pretty good, you know. And I'll have somebody come up to me afterwards and go, Brother Andrew, I really appreciate the way you worship. And, you know, I thank you. You know, I appreciate that. But sometimes I think, why don't you like the way you worship? Just get the same thing I've got.
Amen.
Amen. And it's all right to get a little bit of overflow from somebody else, but eventually God wants to fill your cup up.
Amen.
There are times the Bible tells us to bear one another's burdens. There's times where a brother's hanging down and you got to get up there and pick him up. But there's still a God that knows that brother. And at the end of that, you've got to know God personally, because the same scripture that says we ought to bear one another's burden says, but let every man bear his own burden.
Yes.
There is a part you can't say, and I've met people that do this, being a pastor, but they do it to Christians in general. Yeah. I got all these things, so this part, Brother James, you help me with this, and Brother Justin will help me with this, and Brother Steve help me with this, and I just go around and around and around, and then at the end of the day, I don't take care of nothing now. And you're just going to deceive yourself because there's a burden you're supposed to bear. And nobody can do it for you. As a pastor, I'm just going to be honest with you, there's some men that want me to be the husbands in their house. I can't do it. I'm telling you right now, I don't want to be. I got one woman. I'm glad I didn't live in the days of polygamy. I don't know how they did it. I'm just being honest with you. 200, 300, 400, 500? Yeah, I'd be leaving two for war. Thank you, brother. But see, there's the thing, and now I know there's types and symbols, and I don't want to get into all that teaching about polygamy and things, but in the beginning, God made it one and one. That was the whole point. Is that it was why was it that way in the original? Because that's the way God wants to be with you even right here tonight.
Exactly.
Isaiah 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, we'll start, just first few verses here. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Who is he talking to? For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. And that is a prophecy of this day. We know that there's no day that's been this dark, and it is true. There's great darkness on the whole world. Just not even, you go out there and try to live in a desert somewhere, guess what? Sin's out there too. There's darkness over this whole world, but the gross darkness is on the people. The people you'll find are just engrossed in darkness. I mean, just utter, absolute nonsense of what life is supposed to be and what it's supposed to be about. And that darkness, brother, look, you can try all the entertainment you want, all the money, all the friends, everything in the world. You can even mask it in religion and church and everything else. Nothing will bring light besides what we just read there. The glory of the Lord has to be risen upon you. Not somebody else's light. That's why Jesus could say, I am the light of the world, and then turn to his disciples and says, ye are the light in the world, because it was his light being put in them.
Amen.
Amen. That's why when the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost, it said he came down and split as tongues of fire. Why? The same pillar of fire came down like he did in the days of Moses, but now it split itself, and every little attribute went into the one that it was in. Those that he knew from the beginning of the world, but now are being manifested out. So the same light that said, let there be light, all the way back there, was now living in them, and they were shedding not just a natural light, but a gospel light.
Amen.
And no matter what, brother, sister, I don't care how dark it gets, don't you ever exalt darkness. Darkness can't do anything in the face of any light.
Okay.
Whoo, glory. What are you talking about, brother? You turn off all these lights, you give me one match. You make it the darkest, biggest, you know, they got those super dark rooms that let out no light or whatever. Give me one match and it'll beat all that darkness. Why? Because light beats darkness. That's why no matter how many times I've watched them do it in different movies and things, they try to make the bad guy win or whatever. It never works. It's not a good story because it's just perversion. Good wins. Light beats dark. That's where we're going, and that's God's story. And it don't matter how much you want to twist it, that's where the world is going to be. And how much more in our day should we stop looking at Laodicea and exalting, oh, there's sin over here, and preaching on sin all the time and never giving any people any way out of it. There's a way out. Let the glory of the Lord that he promised shine on you. Believe that he's saying that right now. I don't have to be in darkness. I don't have to be backslid. I don't have to have mind battles. I can let the glory of the Lord shine upon me, and it will expel the darkness that tries to get on me. And I don't have to make it happen. He said it.
Yeah.
He didn't say it might happen. He said it will.
Amen.
He didn't say anybody either. He said me.
Right.
He said you. Hallelujah. God brings his light. because he's bringing it to you. He brings his healing because he's bringing it to you. He brings his blessings because he's bringing it to you. As we went through, he brings his calling because he's calling you. He brought his chastisement because he's chastising you. Everything is not collective. It is down to the individual. And that's what he's saying to us tonight. He said, well, I believe there's a bride of Christ. I believe God sent a messenger to get a bride ready. But he didn't mean that and them and there. He meant you. I think it was Noel Johnson one time, if I always remember this story right. Brother came up to him and he asked him a question. He said, where does God live? And this brother said, God lives in his bride. He said, amen, brother. And he says, brother, what are you part of? I'm a part of the bride. Okay, good. Praise the Lord. Let's try this again. Where does God live? He lives in his bride. Yes. What are you a part of? I'm a part of the bride. Do you see what's going on here? That's some good theology, and it's all correct. But you're forgetting God's trying to say it's supposed to be you. If God lives in his bride, and I'm a part of his bride, that means God lives in me. And he has no hands. I know people don't like to hear this. He ain't got no hands but yours. He says, I'm the vine, but ye are the branches. And where does the fruit come from for people to feed on? Or off branches. But there ain't no branch who's ever going to brag that they could do anything. Because what could they do if there was no vine? You know what those are? They're on the ground. You mow them over and they go into nothingness. That's right. That's what a branch does outside. So any branch that wants to brag, you're going to be plucked off and good luck. God in his mercy can graft you back in, but you're going to have to repent, tell you that much. That's why we don't really have any glory of our own, though it is our glory. Though it's been given to us, though we're the ones that put it out, yet it wasn't us. It was him that lived in us. Now, he said these things, and I've went through all these examples of why God was bringing these things, and he was bringing it to you. But now let me ask you this. Why did he bring you the message? Why did he call you out of Laodicea? Why did he call you to be part of the bride? It's because he was talking about a rapture that wasn't just for anybody. It was for you. I don't care. You don't say, well, I'm Gideon, and I'm just hiding back here. I ain't doing nothing for the kingdom. But brother, today, if you could hear the same angel of God speak to you, say, Lord, there's a reason I'm hearing these things. There's a reason I've been stirred by this. We've so emphasized, even in the message, maybe even especially in the message, of trying to understand and be so intellectual about everything that we've got so far away from faith, we're never going to make a rapture with this stuff. What do you think? You're going to piece all the quotes together one day and be like, oh, that's how it's going to work. And then boom, rapture hits you. I think some people believe that. But the real truth of it is you believe it by knowing that God promised it. You receive it by believing that he promised it and he's going to fulfill it. It's nothing you can do. It doesn't matter. Out of a greater Solomon is here. Listen real quick. It says, if we can just keep our minds settled on Christ and know his presence is here and that he has already secured for you every redemptive blessing that he died for, it's yours. All you have to do is believe it. And what more do we want to know? Look, I want to be healed when I'm sick. Amen. I want to be delivered if the devil's got me captive. Amen. If I get myself in a mess, I want somebody to turn it into a message and get me out of it. Amen. But above all that, I want to know that when the voice of God calls, I'm going in a rapture. That's what I need to know. How are you going to know that? By knowing who you are. Knowing why did he call you? Because he knew you. You don't have to even know you. He knows you. If you can just acknowledge that he knows you, then you'll know who you really are just by knowing who he said you are. I hope you catch what I'm saying. We try to make ourselves become that, but we have to just believe, he said I'm this. What did Gideon do to prove he was a man of valor? Nothing. I know you all got quiet because I'm going to prove I'm a Christian. I'm going to do these things. You got to believe it, that he already promised it. And the clock ain't going to move no faster, Wesley. Might as well just keep looking this way. Love you too, buddy. But Gideon back there, he was a coward as far as anybody could see. How many knows even when he came out, he still was a little nervous about it. And he says, Lord, help me out a little bit here. He says, all right, what do you want? Well, I got this fleece here. And tonight I'm going to throw it down. And I can't remember the order. It's one of the two. But let dew fall on that and not on the ground nowhere else. And sure enough, that night it happened. We'd all think, all right, God did his part. Quit being a wimp. Get out there and conquer. Well, God is merciful, isn't he? Yeah. I said, all right, Lord, I mean, that was pretty good. But can I get one more here? Let's do it the other way. I'm going to wring this baby out.
Again, I don't remember which way it was, but you get my illustration. We're going to make this dry. And now I want that to stay dry and everything else be wet. God said, all right, I got you. It feels like just Thomas all over again, doesn't it? Come here, Thomas, go ahead. Yeah. I mean, you should believe, but here we are. But see, why did he do that for Gideon? Why did he do that for Thomas? Because he knew them. And he can't forsake his own. That wasn't it either. He says, all right. And Gideon's like, okay, praise the Lord. I feel pretty good about this. And the Lord said, man, he still ain't ready. Come here. Look, just go down there. And I got a guy that's had a dream. And when you hear that, you'll be all right. Yeah. Okay. And he went over there and kind of hid in the bushes a little bit. And some brother was talking to somebody else. And he said, man, I had this dream last night that this big rock came down and it just tumbled all the way through and did all this havoc and everything. And the other guy says, man, that ain't nothing but the sword of Gideon. We're going to win this thing. Whoo, then he felt pretty good. Why did God do all that? Because he was going to have to go humiliate himself and make everybody mad and do things that the church didn't think he should have been doing. And because he was following the mind of God. Remember, they all got mad that they weren't allowed to go. But guess what? When it was all said and done, they all could have whined and cried. But when the victory was had and everybody was free, you know what? The little skirmishes go away pretty quick. I'm going to tell you, when that last trump finally sounds and we go home, can you believe they believe all that is going to disappear? Can you? Oh, they ate this? Are you serious? I'm just saying the truth. All that will just why? Because we got the victory. And I'm going to tell you this much. I still believe as Christians, we ought to have that now. I don't believe that just in prophetic sense. I think we ought to have so much victory and joy in the Lord that these little things we can put to rest and let the Holy Spirit do it. I had somebody even ask me, and I hope I can tell this right. They were saying something along the lines of my kids seeing them in church one way, but other places dressed differently. And says, what would they think of that? And I said, look, I'm just going to tell you the truth. My kids have been taught that the Holy Spirit's got to do these things. We believe what we believe. We're going to do what we do, and we're going to do it by the Word. But see, until God shows that, there ain't no point faking it. Now, you ask me, I'm going to tell you, but it ain't going to be, Brother Andrew believes this. I'm going to say this, what the Bible says. You don't want it, that's fine, but that's what I'm doing. I ain't going to make you do it. I ain't going to even condemn you for it. That's between you and the Lord. Amen. But I am going to tell you if you ask me. Amen. And I said, look, they know that. They know better than that. So they look past those things because I don't believe in forcing these things on people. I don't. The Holy Spirit will do it. But don't call me preaching it, forcing it. Ooh. Wait, brother, now you're starting to get on me. Yes, I'm going to still say it. If I see sin in this church, I'm going to tell you. What do you want? You want a man that ignores it instead and lets it ruin your life? Aren't you glad he sent a conviction on my heart to say the truth no matter what? Tell you to quit missing church when you miss? Tell you ought to be here early so we can get some prayer and maybe help the pastor a little bit when he's too tired to pray himself? I'm a human, brother, sister. I am exhausted. Thank you, brother. I just traveled all the way down to Southern Indiana back yesterday, preached funeral sermon. Anybody that's preaching, I know y'all ain't, but you preach funeral sermon, it's like preaching 10 sermons. It's the hardest thing in the world to preach a funeral sermon, I think. I'd rather preach 100 times before I have to preach another funeral service. But God's called us to do these things. And that's what, I'll just be honest with you, I wanted to do anything I could naturally to get out of it because I just drove back from Texas. I didn't want to go down there. But something, I heard what I'm preaching tonight. But I said, you. You know, well, somebody else, he's telling me. And truly, I didn't want nobody else to do it. I wanted to do it for my wife and the family and things. Just like Brother Roy, I remember when he asked me to do it. I don't want nobody else doing this. I want to do it. I don't want to do it, but I want to do it. I hope you get what I'm saying. And I believe that's what we all feel about the gospel and the things God has called us to do. I'm not telling you a little pep speech that you're really going to want to do this when you get out of here. And all. No, just believe God spoke to me. And it might not be easy. It might not be what I want, but there's something deep down that knows it's what I need. Amen. And I want it because I trust the God that told me it. That he called me, that he chastises me, that he blesses me, that he heals me, that he's leading me, and he wants to rapture me. Amen. Why? Because of who I am. I'm just going to paraphrase this story a little bit, but Brother Bram tells it many times about a farmer. He had a set of eggs, but he was missing one. And he happened to catch an eagle's nest close by. And he took one of those eggs and put it in there just to fill it out, you know. And sure enough, when that eagle came out, he just didn't look like nobody else. But what else was he going to do? Because the right atmosphere will make you birth one way or another. But some of us got birth amongst the chickens, and he went out there, and I mean, he's pecking with them and says, well, I guess I'll just put my name on the book and whatever. I mean, I don't know what else to believe. And just pecking around. And it's, man, it just feels weird. And everybody looked at him and says, man, you weird fella, man. Well, plucking's fine, whatever. But there's something on the inside that says, I'm somebody else. Amen. There's something different. I'm not here to be a church member. I'm not here to just occupy a pew. I've been called to something higher. And I don't know, I mean, you guys just flutter off the ground a little bit every once in a while, but there's something in me that says, there's more to it than that. And sure enough, we know that he lived and he pecked and he kind of fit in as best he knew how, but there's always something different about him. Just like us drinking, smoking, cussing, and everything else like the rest of the world. But there's always something different. You just couldn't fit in like you wanted to. Because there's just something wrong. You're different in some way. Sure enough, after a while, that mother eagle, she never forgot. She had two babies, not one. She had two. And she went a-looking, soaring through the skies. That's what I love about an eagle. It can get so high, it can see so far, no bird can touch it. It's the same with the Lord. Amen. You can get all the theology you want, all the church andy, every denomination in the world agree on the same thing. It don't matter. 400 false prophets don't stack up against one true one. Right. Elijah proved that. That's right. It's not because you're just so far higher, it don't even matter. You have everybody on the troops all over the ground. You ain't going to cover what that eagle can see. And that's what God does with his word. Amen. And that eagle looked down and eventually spotted, oh, there he is. There he is. There's my son. What's he doing with chickens? He ain't no chicken. He's an eagle. He ain't supposed to pluck on the ground. He's supposed to be up here flying. He ain't supposed to eat a bunch of corn. He's supposed to tear fresh meat. Oh, Jesus saves the little babies and boo, boo, boo. That ain't what he's supposed to believe. He's supposed to believe all things are possible. Amen. Cast out devils in his name. We heal the sick. We raise the dead. There's something in him that says, I know I can fly if I could just hear the voice. And Mama Eagle went by and began to scream. And I wish I could do an eagle scream. I ain't got no voice for it. But something all of a sudden stirred in the eagle. And everybody else just went on plucking around. But someone says, wait a minute, what was that? Did you guys hear that? Did you hear that message? What are you talking about? That's just false prophet, just a bunch of craziness, just weirdos, holiness people and stuff. No. I heard something else. What did you hear? And you start trying to find validation. Guess what? You're the only eagle. You might as well just get out of the chicken yard. Quit plucking around with chickens. They ain't going to help you because they don't want to go up there. Yeah, they'll jump on a little rooster, maybe get one little healing one time and say, oh, we got it. But there's something new that says, no, there's way more up there. And that eagle heard that voice and finally looked up. It says, oh, that looks like me. That's what I've always wanted to be. That's what I thank God. And when I first started hearing Brother Branham and things, it stirred me up. It says, that's what I've always believed. Not a God of the past, a God right now. If God could tell what Abraham was talking about and Sarah, and he could do it today, and then I heard him doing it. Hallelujah. And I did have to go through the struggle that most message churches didn't have that. I'm not trying to throw it all out. Don't get me wrong. People saved and everyone knows they're not going to make it the rapture. I'm saying I just saw so many that didn't believe and still saying these things. Sure. But something in me says it's still true. It is true. I'm an eagle. Eagles will fly. Amen. And sure enough, that eagle began to say, how am I going to do this? And Mama Eagle says, look, I know you don't know how to do this, but just give me one good flap. Just give me one step of faith, says Lord, I'll believe you wherever you take me. And you know what happened? Mama Eagle come down just like Papa God will come down. And once you just get off the ground, he'll come down here and grab you. Yep. And he says, come up here, I'll show you how to do it. Right. Amen. I could preach a whole sermon on the eagle all night. But he takes those eagles up. We know what he does. That, or the Mama Eagle, but we know it's God. Takes us up there. You know what he does? He drops you. Yep. You know how you learn many times? On the go. You just start flopping around. You just start trying things. I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to read. I'm just going to do these things. I'm going to kick this out. And then when you're about to hit the ground, because you go, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. Come here. I got you. Don't get all worked up just yet. Come here. We start getting a little too legalistic to where nobody's ever going to be saved. Yeah, he comes out and grabs you. Come here. And he say, well, you try to correct that. And says, I don't do nothing now. I just let everything happen. And the Lord will. And then you get so full of grace that just sin runs your life. Then he comes bound and has to swoop you up again. And come here, you're almost there. You're just still not sailing right. And then you get trying real hard. Ooh, I'm going to do this. And you get to, and you realize that ain't how eagles do this.
No, it isn't.
And still Papa God has to teach you. You ain't no dumb chicken. You ain't even a crow or anything. You got to sit there and work all. You ain't a hummingbird making a bunch of noise. You're an eagle. An eagle's got three flaps he needs to do. Get justified by faith. Get sanctified in the Holy Spirit. Get full of the Holy Ghost. And then set your wings. Just set them that what God said must come to pass. And every time a trial comes, just ride it. Says, Lord, I still believe you. And I'm going to tell you, that same wind that used to push you down will push you up. And it'll push you up. And he pushed. Why? Because all the way back there, he knew you were an eagle. And that means today you're going to be, you can't be an eagle laying on the ground. You were made to fly the skies. Why? He ain't saying that to the pastor tonight. He's saying that to you. Eagles, it's time to take a flight. It's time to fly above our sin, fly above our shame, and be ready for a rapture. Let's stand. Let's stand. Praise our God. Hallelujah. Thank you, our God. Aren't you glad to be one of His tonight? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give me the key after that. So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad.
So glad I'm yours.
Yours, Lord. Come on, sing it.
So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me.
So glad.
So glad you found me.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Oh,
and you set me free. Sing it now.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours.
And so
glad I'm yours, Lord.
Praise our God.
So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. Yes,
so glad you found me.
Hallelujah.
And you said,
so glad I'm yours, Lord.
Oh, we're so happy tonight.
So glad I'm yours.
Yes, Lord.
So glad your mercy has followed me.
So glad you found me.
So glad you found me.
Oh,
and you set me free.
Glory to God.
So glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours.
And because we're His, what has He done for us tonight? Just give me F again.
We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life.
Yes, Lord, I still believe
it. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Say it like you believe it tonight.
Oh, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious.
We've already done it.
through the blood of Jesus Christ. One more time, one more time. Oh, we've been made more than conquerors. Overcomers in this life. Oh, blessed be the Lord. We've been made victorious. The blood of Jesus Christ. Let's keep playing that. Let's bow our heads a moment together. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, as we bow our heads before Him, what has He spoken to you tonight? As He told you, it's time, as the chastisement of the Lord come, He said, let's set aside that sin that's besetting you and let's start running with patience. Say, that's me tonight, Lord. Why don't you go ahead and raise that up to Him? And say, Lord, I'm not here to be defeated by this thing. I'm here to be more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. You got a sickness tonight, and if you need prayer, you can come up. We'll pray with you after we're done here. That's absolutely fine. Anytime you need prayer, come on up. But you got a sickness, say, Lord, tonight, I believe I've been made more than a conqueror of this thing. I heard the word, and I believe that promise for me. That You're the Lord that heals all my diseases. And this infirmity's been on me, Lord, and I'm here to be delivered tonight. You're calling. Maybe you've doubted it many times. And the Bible does tell each one of us to seek our own salvation with fear and trembling, making our calling and election sure. Maybe tonight God is trying to shake your foundation to get anything that's loose out of it. You say, Lord, anything in my life that ain't pleasing, I want it far as the east is from the west from me. That I might know I'm a child of God and know my calling. And just like Gideon, I'll be ready to win the battle for You. Just like Moses, I'll be ready to go deliver and do everything You called me to do, Lord. And above all tonight, Lord Jesus, I pray for everyone at the sound of my voice. Those might even listen later. And not one soul that would hear these words wouldn't prepare their hearts for the rapture. May each one of us make sure by the faith in what You've done for us, the faith in what You've called us to be, not any works that we would ever do, but the grace of Him that called us and made us His children. We're so glad that we're Yours. May that revelation strike each one. May it set them free from all sin. May they not be afraid of the Word of God and the requirements, knowing that God's way is the best way. God's way to talk, God's way to dress, God's way to act, God's way to think, God's way to eat, God's way to live. Is the best way. May that revelation strike us. May each one be a part of that bride that has made herself ready. Grant it, Lord, with all that I can pray as a pastor of this little flock You've given. Lord, that's my heart's desire more than anything, is that they'd all be ready for that great hour. We love You, Lord, and I trust the people have heard personally what You've spoke to them. And may it bring back, as we've said, the peaceful fruits of righteousness. May it bring back obedience. May it bring back a testimony that, Lord, You did not send Your word out void, but it accomplished what it was sent to do. Grant it, Lord, from this pulpit all the way to those back doors. Oh, in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Dad, just keep playing this off. Is there any other needs of prayer? You can pray right there. Go ahead, sis. That's fine. Brother, any others? Going to pray with these. Just keep an atmosphere of prayer, you know, in faith, believing. God hears your prayers out there just the same as He does the pastor up here. Be obedient. Be in the Spirit. Just think of you having a need just the same. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Father, in Your grace and Your mercy, Your word, I come.
Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Blood of Jesus Christ.
my sin. He was looking at the blood, whole and rich and free. That precious blood that covers me.
I'm mean, glad he wasn't looking at you.
He wasn't looking at me.
Thank you, Lord.
When he took me in, he wasn't looking at my heart that was blacked by sin. He was looking at the blood flowing rich and free. That precious blood.
Come on, children, sing it together.
That covers me.
Give him praise tonight.
He wasn't looking at me.
Oh, and I'm so glad.
When he took me in, he wasn't looking at my heart that was blacked by sin. He was looking at the blood,
glory,
flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covered.
Just one more time tonight. Praise his name.
He wasn't looking at me. Oh no, he wasn't when he took me in. He wasn't looking at my heart that was blacked by sin. He wasn't looking at the blood.
Oh yes, he was.
Flowing rich and free. That precious blood that covers me.
Oh, if you appreciate tonight, can we give him a hand clap? Praise our God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How many's glad you came to the house of the Lord today?
Blessed be his name. Praise his name.
How many's glad every promise in this book is yours? Yes, Lord, I still believe it, and I think we ought to remind ourselves as we're dismissed today. Let's remind our trials, and even the devil sometimes. Hey, buddy, you just go ahead and go somewhere else, because every promise in that book is mine. You can sit here and try to talk to me all you want. Don't matter. I already know where I'm going. I already know whom I believe, and he's going to do exactly what he said in my life. You might as well just go talk to somebody else. Hey, that's what I want to start doing. I pray I quit listening to him, wasting my time talking to the devil. Amen. Let's talk to the Lord. Let's believe what we're saying. As you're dismissed today, God bless you. Every promise in the book is mine. Yes, it's mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Hallelujah. Every promise in the book. Oh yes, it's mine. Every chapter, every verse. Every